Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, Chris Rankin. We do not have Weasel Weeze. He was busy cruising with his wife somewhere, I would assume to a semi-island or Caribbean direction. If he did imbibe alcoholic beverages, I'm pretty sure he would have something with an umbrella in it. I don't know. Does he strike you as an umbrella drink guy?
Yeah, it actually kind of does.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad it's not just me. I really think that he would be an umbrella drink guy. I don't know why, Weasel. If you're listening, you know, hey, hope you had fun. If you have time to get your picks in, that would be nice. But I digress. Yeah, so I know that we are an NFL show primarily during this time of year, Chris. But, you know, last year when I was on the OT with Andrew G., our former Student of the Game panelist, Andrew Glukov, he and I talked a lot about the college football playoff. They literally spent millions of dollars to think of that name, by the way, the college football playoff. I wish that was a joke. But I digress. What I'm looking to say is this. What we have now as of this past Sunday is the first ever college football playoff bracket. For those who live under a rock and don't know what that is, the top four teams in college are now selected, and they are Alabama, Oregon, Florida State, and Ohio State. Now, with also Baylor and TCU, by the way, on the outside looking in at 5 and 6. For some reason, they felt it important to announce those. I don't know why precisely, but because money and airtime, because they knew people like us would talk about it. Well, because football. I don't know. And as we're here on NGSC Sports, bringing you football talk just the way you like it, I know that you'll see a lot of material on our talk show players throughout the weekend, even in articles on NGSCSports.com regarding the college football playoff. We've not really had a chance as a group to really weigh in on it because, as I often say, and college football is my second language, and Chris might even argue at times he's more fluent in college because, let's put it this way, how long can you spend focusing on the Giants during this year? I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you take a break and focus on the co-champions of the American Athletic Conference. It's still unnatural. I'm sorry, Chris. But anyways, the UCF Knights are co-champions there because alumni. That's why we're saying that. But all that aside, college football playoff, athletic directors and Condoleezza Rice get together in a room and give you the top four teams. I'll start with the obvious question. Did they get it right?
You know, some people, it's, you know, they said this before, that it's going to be hard to pick four teams. There's going to be two teams that are going to be outside or three teams that are going to be outside. No, I don't think they got it right because, I mean, they were getting it wrong all year long with how they do it. I mean, you have Florida State ranked number three. They're the only undefeated team right now.
Okay. And so the obvious defense for that, not that I necessarily think this way. I think, personally, here's what I think. If we were still doing the BSC, I think the top two teams would be Oregon and Florida State.
Correct.
SEC backlash would keep the SEC out of it, and they'd be like, oh, they've been 9 out of the past 8. Why would you let them in again? And, you know, because, you know, they had a loss that people don't approve of during their season. I think if it were still the BSC, that the AP poll, knowing that it would only be two teams and not the potential of four teams and even in anybody's mind, that Oregon and FSU would play. And I'm not going to lie, even at 2 and 3, it's a game I plan to watch, despite it being a college game, come New Year's Day. That's not a question. What is the question is, what do you say, Chris, to those people who comment the following? Oh, they're undefeated, but they're one overzealous receiver away from losing to Notre Dame. They're one ridiculous, well, more than one ridiculous choke job away from losing to Louisville, Florida, Miami of Florida, and also Georgia Tech. I guess the defense is, it ain't pretty. But that doesn't seem to matter in your point of view, I'm guessing.
Right. I mean, you still look at, yeah, they barely beat Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was ranked number 11. You know, yeah, they struggled against Florida, but that's a rivalry. You know, you always play up for your rivalry games. Same thing with Miami. You know, Louisville's gotten lucky a few times over the last couple of years in some of these games. So, I mean, you can't count them out
either.
So, I mean, you can look at this, but, I mean,
and you still haven't even addressed the Notre Dame thing. See, that's my. I think it's convenient. There's a lot of people give Alabama a hard time about excuses they make, but all I find when it comes to FSU is that they make excuses for their wins. That tells me up front they're not quality. Do I think FSU should be 3? Not necessarily. But I'm not comfortable with putting them ahead of Oregon. Alabama? I could be convinced. So I guess what I'm saying is if we were both to inject our logics here, that we would have Oregon number 1, Florida State number 2, and Alabama number 3. But I think the way it pans out, and I think Florida State fans should demand this if they're actually wanting credibility for this 2014 season, because this is not the same team we saw in 2013 who was blowing cats out by an average of 40 points, right? And I think that's part of it, too. I think people are spoiled by that. But the concept is that they'll have to go through Oregon and Alabama, theoretically. We're assuming Alabama will top Ohio State, and we'll touch Ohio State in a minute, but I think if FSU wins those two games, the dispute is over. Don't you agree there?
Yeah, that's correct right there. I mean, if they win both of the games, and I mean, how you're saying you're putting Oregon as number one, it's their only loss was to Arizona, who they did replay in the Pac-12.
In the conference championship.
Right, and they crushed them in the conference championship game.
No, no, no. Rocks get crushed and turned to some useful material. Arizona was straight wasted, kind of like Wisconsin was by Ohio State. And you see, I want to ask you about this too, because I know it won't just be my Ohio State is overrated bias talking. But your thoughts on TCU being ranked 4, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes Ohio State after conference championship play. What say you on that? Thoughts on it, and you know, do you think it's the right move?
See, I don't think Ohio State did enough to jump TCU. I mean, last week you had TCU ahead of them. TCU won big on Saturday against
Iowa State. Right. Hold on, let me put it on my intimidated face. No, I'm joking, but yeah, I mean, it was like 50 something to.
Right. Yeah. Granted, yeah. Ohio State shut out Minnesota in, you know, the conference championship, but
yeah,
I mean, we said it before, the Big Ten is weak.
It is.
They're weak, and with Minnesota, how you beat them was Minnesota, Wisconsin, not Minnesota.
I thought you said Wisconsin.
I know. I was like, yeah. Minnesota. No, that doesn't sound right.
As in the place where Russell Wilson and J.J. Watt came from.
Right.
Bingo.
So with Wisconsin, they had a running game. That's all they have. You shut that running game down, they're nothing. That's what Ohio State did. They shut down the running game, and then they turned around and ran all over Wisconsin.
Here's what I think happened. Now, and I'm not saying anything you said is wrong. Let me be clear. But here's the way I baked it out. First of all, they had TCU 4 the week going into the conference championships. Never should have happened. Tell the people why, because I know you know.
Well, actually, they had TCU as 3. They had Florida State as 4.
Excuse me, you're right. They had TCU. I'll rephrase that. They had TCU in the playoff. Tell the good people why that shouldn't have happened, because I know you know the answer just as well
because
as I do.
Baylor beat them in the
Because Baylor beat them head-to-head.
Right.
Okay. That takes it off the table, especially the way you and I ranted about them doing the same thing to Louisville and UCF this time last year. Different. We're not even going to open up that can. That eventually got righted, as this did as well, in my opinion. Something else you may not be aware of, I'm sure you are because you are wiser than the average fan, but Baylor went out and hired a PR firm to help in their effort to crack the college football playoff. So, in a room full of athletic directors and Condoleezza Rice, I see a bunch of athletic directors that don't want to add the cost of a PR firm to their budgets at their universities, and I see a former politician and Condoleezza Rice not being wanting to be a member of the committee that lets in the school that hired the PR firm. Because how bad would that honestly look in this close a situation where the hairs are being split this finally to make the playoff that you let the college that hired the damn PR firm in? Now, here's the out they have. And it's ironic because in the past, Ohio State has gotten into conference champion, or excuse me, national championships because they didn't have a conference championship. They took Ohio State because the Big Ten now has a conference championship, which Ohio State won, whereas the Big 12, which ironically is the one that has the 10 teams, but I'm not even opening that case, and is also an overrated conference too, by the way. Let's be fair there. I mean, am I wrong there?
Yeah, you're right there.
Okay. That has no conference championship. They're left outside because they don't have a conference championship. That's what will happen on the surface. I think Baylor was kept out, and because they beat TCU head-to-head and faced all that criticism the week before, they kept the state of Texas in the form of Baylor and TCU out of the top four. And as somebody who's documented as a huge Ohio State hater, I dig that they got in based on a conference championship. That's just me. I don't know if you agree with that or if you think I'm on the crack, but remember, this is my second language.
Right. Well, you got to look. Ohio State is Big Ten conference champion.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama SEC champion, Florida State ACC champion.
Right.
Baylor and TCU share, which I still don't understand how you share a conference. I know you don't have a championship game, but how can you share a title when the team beat them head-to-head when they both have the same record?
And there's no third team in the mix, like the whole situation with the American
Athletic Conference. Which is ridiculous, too, because really Cincinnati should be out of that because Memphis beat them.
Yeah, well.
So they shouldn't even be in. They shouldn't have been a co-champion because it should have just been Memphis and UCF because they didn't play against each other. Memphis beat Cincinnati, so they should be wiped out.
Well, even aside from that, the co-champions should play each other in a damn conference championship game.
Correct.
That's all I'm trying to say. Anyways, I'm obviously pro-conference championship game. You can see that. But I don't know. I honestly feel like they got it right, and I honestly feel like they did a better job than the BSC did or would have done. Because I feel like the BSC would have given a Baylor that credit over Ohio State. I'm defending Ohio State. This hurts my soul. I don't know. Do you think I'm right there?
Well, yeah, a little bit. But you got to look at the team that really got screwed on this one is really Florida State going 13-0. They're receiving third. They have to travel all the way to California to play against Oregon when basically Alabama is playing a home game in the Sugar Bowl.
And I'll tell you what, all the strugglings that they've had at home, I'll tell it like this, and I'll admit an element of bias because when I go into work every day, my coworkers are just all FSU cats, and I hear about it the entire time. Now, they get pretty quiet when I inject logical arguments. They're respectful like that. I'll give them that credit. But as much as I hear about how great FSU is just because they're undefeated, I would like to see them prove themselves. This is no different than when FSU first got to the ACC just before the Bobby Bowden days, if I have my math right, and thought, no, Bobby Bowden was there when they went
to the ACC. Bobby Bowden's been there since like the late 70s.
Okay, so see, that was my instinct, but I was afraid I'd be wrong. Anyways, because it's my second language. Anyway, so when Bobby Bowden and FSU first got to the ACC and made a living beating the hell out of basketball schools, thinking they're tough stuff because they're beating Duke and Wake Forest and North Carolina and all that, and then getting to a bowl game only to get their butts trumped, I'm glad to say that FSU's past that point. That being said, all I hear about is how great this 2014 FSU team is. I ain't saying they bad, but they flawed. And I think the one way to test them and to take all the doubt off the table, if I'm a football player on that team, no, screw it. If I'm a coach of that team, I'm glad I'm not in the top two. Because maybe then this football team will be focused for an entire 60 minutes. We haven't seen that from FSU. I'm certain you'll agree with that. So, anyways, if that's indeed the case and they do play a full 60 minutes after that, should actually make for a hell of a football game versus Oregon. And I don't care who you are, whether you hate one team or the other or any of that, that's going to be a good time. I don't know.
All right, so here real quick, how many rushing yards will Marcus Mariota have against Florida State? Because they gave up 331 yards to Georgia Tech. They couldn't stop the run at all.
It's a triple option. I mean,
I know.
That's you know, I mean, granted, I don't understand how you have a team with the speed of FSU and you let a high school offense tear you apart. But
I just like that triple option, man. I always watch it. I'll just sit there and watch it the whole game. Just triple option. I'm like, hey, that's great.
You know, the most fun I had watching that triple option was the first pass of the game that Georgia Tech had, where they turned they set the receiver and put a wheel route right behind it with one of the option backs.
Right. I was on the fourth series of the game when they scored already the first three.
I don't know. Let's leave some of the college for the college cram crew coming on after us at 9 o'clock here Eastern tonight. Let's get into some NFL. Let's rock it down. I mean, hey. The reason why we're talking college first is just so you're actually pumped about football, because there's no way that football had anything to do with this garbage game. Cowboys, Bears, Chris.
The Cowboys kept their playoff hopes alive with a 41-28 win over the Chicago Bears. The Cowboys led at one point 38-14, and the Bears started the comeback, but with a Cutler pick in the end zone sealed the game for the Cowboys, who improved to 9-4 on the season.
Look, it's cute they tried at the end, but come on. Really?
So, I mean, that was the only Cutler's interception was in the end zone, trying to go, you know, right. Trying to make something happen when they were down. He was 32 for 46 for 341 yards with the two touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown. Tony Romo was 21 for 26, 81%. It's pretty good for Tony Romo, 205 yards with three touchdowns.
Pretty good for anybody.
Right. DeMarco Murray, you know, tore it up again, had over 200 yards of total offense with a touchdown. Matt Forte had a touchdown and a lost fumble. And then for the receivers, Dez Bryant had 82 yards receiving. Cole Beasley for the Cowboys had two touchdowns. Alshon Jeffery and Martellus Bennett both had a touchdown. But, I mean, Martellus Bennett, he's having a good year, even though Chicago hasn't.
Right.
There's another 12 catches here. You know, he leads the league with tight end receptions.
I mean, nothing shocking there. I've liked Martellus Bennett ever since he was a Cowboy. He was just stuck early on in the shadow of Jason Witten. And now I think he's hitting his prime, but no one will really notice him as a career just because of, you know, starting out the way he did.
So, I mean, difference in the game, really. The Bears were 2 for 10 on third down to the Dallas of 50%. There's two turnovers, but Brandon Marshall for the Bears is out on IR now. He left the game in the second quarter with a broken rib.
Yeah.
But positive note for the Bears, looks like they're going to be parting ways with defense coordinator Mel Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Bears fans have been asking for the coaching staff to be gone. They're kind of stuck with Cutler based on the contract. I don't necessarily think Cutler's the problem. Yeah, anyways, enough of that dumpster fire. Giants, Titans, Chris.
The Giants snapped their 7-game losing streak as they went on the road and gave the Titans their own seventh loss in a row.
Boom.
In a 36-7 defeat, the Titans' only score came on an Eli Manning pick six.
That just feels appropriate, right, Giants fan?
So for the Giants, the rookies got it going as Andre Williams had 24 carries, 131 yards with a touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr. had 11 catches for 130 yards with a touchdown. Difference in the game, really, the Giants defense got the Mettenberger and Locker eight times. That's two games in a row they got.
Eight sacks to zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row they've had eight sacks. Last time it was against the Jags.
Right.
Yeah, like you said, Eli wasn't sacked. Three turnovers of Titans to the Giants one. Third down, Giants were 8 for 18. Titans were 2 for 13.
I mean, right now, at this point, you're just telling us symptoms of the ultimate problem. You know, you got to protect your guy, especially if it's Mettenberger, who is now, I believe, we were saying he was on IR.
Yeah, he was placed on IR now with a shoulder injury.
And regardless if it's Mettenberger or Locker, I mean, Mettenberger's looked better than we thought. Locker, I think by now, as I've been saying since he's been drafted, is straight trash. I mean, and then he can't be protected either. What's he going to do? I don't know.
Right. The only positive for the Titans in this game is the Giants were only 1 for 5 in the red zone.
Actually, here's my positive for this game going right into it. They have a shot now at the 2015 first-round draft pick. Chris,
yeah.
Are the Titans the holders of the 2015 first-round draft pick in your mind today?
Yeah, I gotta look at the schedule. But right now, I mean, they're tied with the Raiders and the Jags.
Spoiler right alert. Now. Yeah, right.
So let me pull up the rest of their schedule.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, this is the part that's interesting here to me because, I mean,
they got the Jets, the Jags, and the Colts left.
Okay, so the Jags and the Titans just may be competing for who in the South will have a shot at the worst team.
And the Raiders have the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Broncos left, so.
The Chiefs, the Bills, and the Broncos.
Yeah, the Raiders might be still hold on that number one pick.
What's the tie break on that? Who has the worst AFC record? Actually, the Titans have lost to the Chiefs and... Well, who did the Titans beat?
You got to remember, the Raiders beat...
We'll get into it later. Yeah, so we'll beat it later. They beat right. an NFC team,
yeah,
so that will
NFC
make their
team,
AFC
But then
team.
They also beat the...
Well, they
beat
the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
So they have an AFC win. So the Titans wins. Who are the Titans wins? That's what you have to ask. I know. You got to really dig in there to find a Titans win.
Yeah.
He'll get back to
it. It was at the
that.
Beginning of the season because then they start off.
I think they beat the Chiefs as well. Which, what does that say about the Chiefs?
They beat the Chiefs. Yeah, they beat the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs and they beat the Jags. This is their two wins.
Oh, snap. Based on conference record, Raiders are still up. Wow.
That was the Titans. So
the Titans are cheering for the Raiders to win. Everybody got that? Okay, anyways, if the Chiefs have the first round pick in 2015, whom should they select? Chris. I don't know why you're hesitating.
The Titans?
Yeah.
You said who they should pick?
Yeah. Is there any reason why?
I don't think I'll pick Marcus Mariota now.
Okay.
Because they already got Bettenberger there, so I don't think I'll go there. trying to think, who else would they be?
At this point, it would have to be another old lineman, then I'd say.
Yeah, either that or I'd, you know, that running back from Wisconsin.
Their defense is pretty terrible, too, though. Right. I mean, let's call that what it is as well. Where do you start? I don't know.
Can they just get an extra first-round pick for being so bad?
So much for them winning 10 games, I'm just saying. As people tried to tell us in the offseason. Whatever.
Yeah,
how's
yeah,
that going?
What
for
did
you?
I had 3-13, so.
I wonder what I have.
I got it right here.
Yeah, what do I have for them? That's interesting because I know I had them doing bad.
Wait, no, I had them 5-11. You had them 5-11. We both had them 5-11.
We are both optimistic bastards. Yes. What is wrong with
them? And you guys thought it was crazy. I mean, we had them at 7-9. So I'm like, there's no way they're going to win 7 games.
That's kind of what I thought. I don't know.
I did have them losing their last 6 games of the season. So.
Last 6 games?
Yes.
Okay, well, at least that's consistency. I don't know. Anyways, next game up, the Rams and the Skins. Look, folks, nobody wants to play the Rams at this point. I don't care what their record is. Nobody wants to play them. And the Skins now officially showed you why. Rams 24, Redskins, boop, 0. Goose egg, zip, zilch, nil, niente in Italian. Sean Hill, 60 for 22, 213 yards with 2 touchdowns. Colt McCoy running for his life on the day. 20 for 32, 199, 2 INTs. At some point, RG3 did get in the game, but only because Colt McCoy was hurt. Jameel Cook, top receiver for the Rams, yada, yada, yada. He had 2 touchdowns. He went 4 catches for 61. Pierre Garçon, yeah, it's tougher to do when Weasel's not here. But Pierre Garçon, had 9 catches for 95, the top receiver for the Redskins. I'm not even worried about that. Here's where I'm at on all of that. The most interesting thing about this game, Chris, tell the world who the captains for the coin toss were representing the St. Louis Rams.
Okay, it was Brockers, Janoris Jenkins, Alec Ogletree, Greg Robinson, Stedman Bailey, and Zach Stacy.
Now, for those of us who are draft nicks out there, those names should be significant. Why?
Because those are the draft picks that they used when they got for the trade with RG3.
And RG3 didn't even start this expletive-deleted game. I mean, short of coming on the field and just lifting his middle finger at the press box, because they were in D.C., I don't know how much more of an F.U. this could be to Dan Snyder. I'm just saying, man. It's kind of a mean move, but you said it best. It's funny. Yeah, it is funny. You're still kind of showing people up. Not that I have a problem with it, but that's, I don't know. That's just what
Yeah, hey, not everything was going for the Rams, though. Did you see the kicker, Greg Zuerlein, missed an extra point? A 28-yard field goal and a 38-yard field goal, all right.
You know what? Zuerlein's good for a day. You know why he missed? He's because probably he was still laughing at the captains of the coin toss.
So Jeff Fisher is the one that came up with this with the captains for the coin toss and everything. You know what he did with Zuerlein in the locker room afterwards?
Uh-oh.
He had to hold or put the ball down and have Zuerlein kick it into a locker. He could make it.
Can you do it? Wait, did he do it?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. I was just because if you missed that, you probably get cut. I'm talking about a pressure-filled moment, man. Anyway,
what I would have done on the last touchdown, you know, to probably put the punter out there to kick an extra point. Hey, go out there.
Wow. Anyways, no, I bet that was I feel like that was a game where people were chuckling on the sidelines more than they were playing football. I would not be shocked to find out if that were true. Something I did to find out and was completely shocked when it happened. Panthers Saints, Chris.
The Saints dropped another home game, fourth straight home game.
Fourth straight home game.
This time the NFC South foe, the Carolina Panthers, 41-10, and the Saints playoff run just hit a brick wall as they are now 5-8 on the season. Panthers are one game back at 4-8-1.
Or is that a half game? How does that work?
It's a whole game. It's because it's you go by the win column.
Yeah. You're right. They're a win behind. That's true. Right. They're a half game, but one win. So, right. Anyways.
This game was all Panthers. The Panthers led 24-3 at half. Cam Newton got back to his old self. He was 21-33, 64%, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had 12 rushes with 83 yards and a touchdown. That's a lot of stats for him.
That's a lot of stats. That's a Cam Newton we're used to seeing. And Kelvin Benjamin dropped a long one himself. I'm just saying.
All right. Drew Brees was 29-49, 235 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Jonathan Stewart carried the load in the backfield and ended with 20 carries, 155 yards, and a touchdown. The touchdown came from 69 yards out.
Oh, right.
So he scored from 69.
That's right. He scored with 69. Yes. That's the way it should be.
Mark Ingram was only held to 43 yards on 10 carries, and he also lost a fumble.
Yeah, that's not all right.
No, that's kind of weak for him lately, what he's been doing.
Yeah.
Greg Olson was the leading receiver with 10 catches and 72 yards and a touchdown. Calvin Benjamin and Fozzie Whitaker each had a touchdown.
Waka, waka.
And Marquise Colston was the leading receiver for the Saints with five catches, 72 yards.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Cam Newton doing what he used to do. The resurgence I see, personally, everybody else. That's what interests me. There's a running game in Carolina. That's what it's supposed to be. There's a defense in Carolina. That's what it's supposed to be. Unless you're coached by Ron Rivera. But what I'm trying to say is this. They're performing in ways that they used to in 2013 in this game. You and I both look at the stats up and down. I look at some of the film from the game I watched. All I got, Rob Ryan's defense, not all that in a bag of chips here. I don't know whether it's his fault. Heck, the Saints have a tradition of garbage defense, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, there's like nothing to explain, really.
So... there was something I wanted to take a moment to actually kind of comment on here. After one of Cam's touchdowns where he, very heroically, by the way, in my opinion, dove, lunged the ball forward, broke the plane, and all this when it came, they reviewed it. It was a touchdown, all this stuff. When he got the touchdown, now, okay, you are a Giants fan slash someone who follows the Jets, okay? When Cam Newton gets a touchdown, what does he do?
Yeah, he does the Superman pose.
He does the Superman with on the thing. Now, keep in mind, You're not a Panther fan, and you know that's coming. I'm willing to bet Saints defenders knew that was coming, too. As he's getting set up to do it, I believe it was Curtis Lofton, linebacker, comes in from behind and starts shoving him and impeding his ability to do that. Cam Newton, first of all, we're both linemen. What happens when somebody lays hands on the quarterback after the play is over?
You go right after him.
It's not a friendly thing, I can tell you that. You don't go up to him and go, excuse me, sir, that's my quarterback. You should probably not touch him. So a scrum ensues from this linebacker.
It was Curtis Lofton.
There you go. Well, all I know is that he's Lofton a lot of respect from me. Anyways, see, because lost. Anyways, well, the point is this. The one person involved outside the fray, which is a tight end, number 86.
Brandon Williams.
Brandon Williams. All I could think of was Brian Williams. I'm like, he's not doing a newscast, for Christ's sake. But anyways, Brandon Williams, okay, gets ejected. Maybe he should have been, maybe he shouldn't have been. That's a problem. Curtis Lofton, who's putting a dirty hit on a quarterback from behind, nothing. No fines.
He got a personal foul penalty. That was it.
Oh, right. No. But why isn't he ejected? He should have been fined, no less than 10 G's, I might add, for pulling this garbage. This can't be tolerated. An unprotected quarterback for all intents and purposes, I don't give a damn if Cam Newton is a big guy. I mean, am I overreacting to this? I thought this was just a completely scummy hit. You're nodding. This is radio, not TV. Yeah. I'm sorry, Cal. I'm just not angry as you are.
Just don't know what to say about it.
I mean, and you know what it comes down to is these damn guys in the striped shirts with $42,000 in raises each levied to them two seasons ago, getting it wrong once again. Yes, this is a theme for me. You might have noticed that. Anyways, so that aside, that game leads to the outcome, which that game, well, we'll move on. It's actually a point I'll make later because, well, because continuity. Anyway, yeah, you got to love the Saints this year, right? My in-laws trying to tell me how good they are. Anyways, the Bucks and the Lions. Talk about another team that's a complete waste of my time, and no, I don't mean the Lions. Yeah. 34-17, the final score. Josh McCown had two touchdowns with two interceptions and a lost fumble on a 20-for-39 day where he had 250 yards. Okay, I'm kind of shocked he got the two touchdowns. That's what I'll say about that. Matt Stafford had 26-for-34, 311 yards with three touchdowns. Vincent Jackson, top receiver on the day in yards for the Bucks with 10-for-159. Good fantasy points there, but you'd love it even more if you had Mike Evans, who scored two touchdowns on the day. And, of course, Megatron. You ain't shocked he did anything against this garbage team. Eight catches, 158 yards with a touchdown. Joik Bell, pretty solid day as well. He had 18 carries for 83 yards and a touchdown, not to mention five catches for 50 yards as well and a touchdown. Somebody banked in fantasy with that. I mean, in light of the fact that I believe the Lions' schedule is so awful, except for week 17, where they play the Packers. I believe they have the Raiders on their schedule next and someone else who's just completely trash. I'm going to guess the Skins, something like that. I don't know.
The Lions?
Yeah.
They have...
Week 17 is the Packers, I know that. They have a...
Yes, they got the Vikings, the Bears, the Packers.
Okay, so the point is garbage schedule. I didn't realize that they finished in division for the last three games. Okay, well...
Yeah, they're like one of the only teams that do that.
Them and the Seahawks.
Right.
And I think the Cardinals actually do something very similar as well. No, the Cardinals do the same thing because they're Thursday... On next Thursday, they play.
They got the Rams, Seahawks, Niners, right?
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, so the Seahawks, too.
So, boom. So, I say all that to say this. With that schedule, easy schedule, minus week 17, all week 17 may potentially decide is who wins the North.
Right.
In light of this fact, are we locked to have two NFC North teams in?
Yes, we are.
I think so, too. I think so, too. We talked about it last week.
There's only the most that you'll get out is would be two out of the NFC East, if that's the case. You can't even get one out of the NFC South.
You should be able to get right. one out of the NFC South.
And then NFC West, you're only getting two also. And then
the most you're going to get out of anybody else is two. Right. I agree with that. I think the competition at this point is whoever doesn't win the East and whoever doesn't win the West of the top two teams. That's going to be a hell of a match for that. What I think would be the sixth seed eventually. Today, due to tiebreakers, the Seahawks do hold the five spot, but, I mean, there's a whole lot that could still go on. A lot of teams still yet to play each other, including the Lions and Packers, and the Seahawks and Cardinals still need to play each other again in the rematch. That'll all be just... there's a lot going on in the coming week. I'll give you that. Right. So with that... Actually, with that, let's go ahead and hit the break. You are listening to the Student of the Game here on NGSC Sports. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. And we are back here on the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash here with Chris Rankin, Weasel is out this week. Well, because cruise, I guess, for lack of a better term. yeah, he was on a cruise with his wife and having fun and doing all that stuff. If he happens to be in the sound of my voice, we still need your picks, Chief. So, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, so next up, speaking of Weasel, how appropriate. Jets-Vikings, Chris.
Yeah, the Vikings needed overtime to beat the New York Jets 30-24 when Teddy Bridgewater connected with Jarius Wright on a screen pass on a 3rd and 5, and he broke one tackle and outran the Jets' defense on the way to an 87-yard touchdown to win the game.
Apparently, Teddy Bridgewater throwing to Jarius was the right throw. Anyway,
Jarius Wright was 4 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown on the day. Start off the game, it didn't take long for the Vikings to get on the board as Geno Smith, this time he led a linebacker, Gerald Hodges. Hodges returned it, the interception 27 yards for a touchdown, his first return for a touchdown of his career.
Is it that impressive since it's Geno?
Not really.
I'm joking.
Then the Jets would get on the board, you know, the next series that the Vikings have the ball when Sheldon Richardson sacked Bridgewater for safety. So the score was 7-2 at one point.
Oh, right.
With neither offense scoring.
Gotta love these teams, man. Yeah.
Geno Smith was 18 for 29, 254 yards with a touchdown and that interception. Teddy Bridgewater was 19 for 27, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns with 1 INT. There was finally a Percy Harvin sighting back in Minnesota. As he had his best game as a Jet, he had 6 catches for 124 yards and a touchdown.
Lord knows he did better than Cordarrelle Patterson. Most important thing he accounted for was a damn fumble, if I remember correctly.
Right. Wide receiver Charles Johnson had a good day for the Vikings with 4 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Chris Ivory for the Jets had 73 rushing yards but lost a fumble inside the Vikings' 5-yard line. And the difference in the game, the Jets going 0 for 5 in the red zone.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And the Vikings were 0 for 1.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, when you got the defense scoring, that's what'll happen. You know.
And then kickers, Nick Folk was 5 for 5, and Blair Walsh, the Vikings kicker, was 1 for 3 as he missed a 56-yard field goal at the end of regulation. Did you see this kick?
I did not.
It barely made it to the end zone on a 56-yarder.
Look, when you're 0 for 5 in the red zone and you're 5 and 5 for kicks and you've missed that many opportunities for a touchdown, frankly, I don't give a Folk. Ha-ha! Because Nick Folk is the kick.
Right.
So, anyways, something else that didn't seem so right. If you look at this stat line, with the Bills visiting the Broncos, you would expect an easy game for the Broncos, and not so much. Peyton Manning went 14 for 20. Not so bad there. 173 with 2 interceptions. WTF, mate. Including another turnover on offense with a fumble from Jacob Tammy. That's 3 turnovers by the Broncos offense. Didn't matter, though. Broncos still got the win, 24 to 17. I guess that's what happened when you're facing former Broncos starter, man who was replaced by Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton. He did have a running touchdown on the day, as well as a passing touchdown where he went 38 for 57 for 355 yards and 2 INTs. Look, I know that for a while there, Coach Marone of Buffalo was in consideration for getting Coach of the Year. Any coach that has 57 throws from Kyle Orton, not a Coach of the Year candidate, I'm sorry. Anyways, Fred Jackson on the ground had 8 carries for 35 yards. And, yeah, C.J. Thompson did amazing stuff like he does. He had 3 touchdowns on the day. The newsworthy thing to me, Chris, and hear me out on this theory, because I know anybody who's a fan of a team that's performing well in the AFC right now, be it a Raven fan, a Patriots fan, a Steelers fan, will be like, oh, Peyton Manning had such a bad game. There's no way the Broncos will do well. Well, actually, what this tells me is that when something goes wrong, the Broncos defense was in effect to take care of their side of the business. Now, granted, I'm not saying the Broncos are going to win with 3 turnovers against any of those AFC elite teams. But nonetheless, that will be something they can use to overcome. Sammy Watkins on the day makes his campaign further for the Bills. 7 catches for 127 yards on the day. He, too, lost a fumble. So, hey, I guess the Broncos defense did their part to match the turnovers that were given up by their offense. So, yeah, way to go, Broncos defense. There you go. That's why if you're a Broncos fan, you should be reassured for the Broncos enduring shoulder injuries from carrying their team through this win. And the Bills have shocked some people. So, I mean, that's basically what it comes to on that. You know, it's funny I mentioned being shocked, Chris. This next game should probably fall into that particular piece. I still really don't know exactly what to say when I look at the scoreboard and I see the Raiders toppling the 49ers. I got no clue. Okay? It was cute when I would make jokes in the Matchup Mania that is posted on Wednesday night on NJSCSports.com, by the way. It was cute when I would make jokes in the Matchup Mania that the Chiefs were the one in the 1-11, you know, posted by the Raiders. I get that. But now I look pretty silly saying all that when the Raiders came out and did what they did to the 49ers, beating them 24-13. So that's not like that's a close game. That's Colin Kaepernick having another two interception game, another game under 200 yards. Yeah, I threw for a touchdown, whatever. Derek Carr, 22 for 28 himself. DC Ford doing his thing, 254 yards and three touchdowns. I said at the beginning of the year, Chris, and I'm standing by it now. Colin Kaepernick, at this point in time in my mind, if people want to call him a bust, I'm not going to get in their way. I'll grant he's a third-round pick. But what we have going on here is a situation where a guy has Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree at the receiver spot, and has excellent run support in the form of Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde, the rookie out of Ohio State. Great. I'm defending another guy from Ohio State. Come on. This is a rough day for me, man. Losing to the Raiders and not defending Ohio State twice. I'm going to need a hug, bro. Is that okay? Can we do that after the show?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I mean, you know. No, not the way you're thinking, dirty-minded people out there. Anyways, I say all that to say this. Kaepernick can't be excused anymore. I'll get that his O-line is injured and he's down to Jonathan Martin as a tackle spot, who oft gets worked. Okay? There is no defense for Colin Kaepernick anymore. That being said, I still think he's the same quarterback as Russell Wilson. He's just in a worse situation where you have guys in San Francisco who are, you know, under indictment for things and suffering from suspensions and their discipline problems, injuries galore. And, oh, by the way, your front office is ousting your coach and you're playing against a team actively trying to recruit him. Yeah. Anyway, so enough about that. All the Raiders really did was keep themselves, do their best to keep themselves from getting the first round pick next year. Personally, I think it's a good thing if they don't get it, because pressure will have them trying to trade it. And the last thing the Raiders need now is another guy who underperforms but will take up space in the cap. And the Raiders draft picking prowess of late, you would say that was it's pretty bad, right, Chris?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think I would be moving mountains with that statement. Anyways, next game on the docket here. This one actually much more entertaining to at least start with, until it all went wrong in the fourth quarter. The Steelers take down the Bengals at home, being the day who beat the Bengals. See, because who day? But shut up. Anyway, Ben Roethlisberger went 25 for 39, 350 yards with three touchdowns. The Red Rifle had four carries for 22 yards with a running touchdown. 21 for 29 himself, 302 yards with two touchdowns. Yes, he lost a fumble. All I can tell you up front, Chris, is this loss has nothing to do with Andy Dalton. It is not his fault, especially when you have A.J. Green having a career day with 11 catches for 224 yards and a touchdown. The score that broke it open, rookie Martavius Bryant had four catches for 109 yards, but it's his touchdown catch that blew the game open and took it home for the Steelers. I mean, just all sorts of craziness after that. The Red Rifle had to leave the game, Andy Dalton, for a short time. Jason Campbell's in the game. He fumbled the ball and gave it back to the Steelers for another opportunity to score. And the man we know on this show as Le'Veon, 26 carries for 185 yards. When you want to run the football, Le'Veon, two touchdowns on the ground. Also had a touchdown in the air when he had six catches for 50 yards. The AFC North.
Real quick about Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
This is his third straight game with over 200 yards from line of scrimmage.
All purpose.
Yes.
Wow.
And there's only been one other player in NFL history has done that.
And who's that?
Walter Payton.
When you want to move the football, Le'Veon. See how I took Brent out? Because, right. So, I mean, at this point, people have talked about the Steelers going back to their run game. If they maintain that, do they win the North, Chris?
Yes, they'll win the North. Okay. They'll come back. I'm just trying to think if they still have to play against the Bengals again.
They do not.
Steelers.
I don't think.
Yes, they have to play the Bengals in Week 17. They've got the Falcons and the Chiefs left. So
right.
Yes.
It's the Ravens they've swept. That doesn't hurt anything, of course. Anyways. So, yeah, I mean, you got to feel good about the Chiefs and the Falcons being on your schedule. Actually, they're playing tonight, I believe. Yes, the Falcons and the Steelers. No, the Falcons and the Packers are playing tonight. Falcons
right.
and Steelers, I think, are the following Monday. I don't know. Whatever. The point is this. If you're the Steelers and you see the Falcons on your schedule, that's a good time. Just throwing that out there. Something else that was a good time, if you're J.J. Watt and you're taking on rookie Blake Bortles. How many sacks did the Giants have against the Jags last week, Chris?
8.
Now, the Texans only had 4, but J.J. Watt had 3 of them. I mean, yeah. The Texans won, just like we thought, 27-13. Larry Fitzgerald had as little to do with that as we would have thought. 13-19 in the air. 8-19 running. He did have a touchdown on the ground. Arian Foster, though, 24 carries for 127 yards. Guess where they got the points from? Duh. I mean, the biggest difference in this game is in the red zone. The Texans did their thing. The Jags did not at 1-for-3 versus the Texans 3-for-3. And J.J. Watt had 3 of the 4 sacks on the day. I mean, look, honestly, at this point, we're just on sack watch for J.J. Watt and for anything else that may happen, a random touchdown, whatever, and his effort to be MVP as the dark horse in that race. Yeah, I think that pretty much takes care of that. Anyways, next up, the Colts visited the Browns in Cleveland. Chris?
Some people would say that Andrew Luck may have had the worst game of his career, but the comeback kid did it again. This time he threw a 1-yard touchdown pass to T.Y. Hilton with 32 seconds left.
Thank you, Eugene.
To win the game over the Browns 25-24. The Colts improved to 9-4, and the Browns' playoff hopes are about none as they fall to 7-6.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck was 24-53, 294 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. One of them was a pick six. Lost the fumble, which was in the end zone, which was recovered by the Browns.
So wait. You said the Browns had, what did the Browns had a pick six?
They had a pick six, and they also recovered a fumble in the end zone also. So it was 14 of their 24 points came from the defense.
Yeah, that's the math I was looking for. Thank you. Carry on.
Okay, Andrew Luck also had 37 yards rushing with a touchdown. He was a leading rusher for the Colts. Brian Hoyer, 14-31. You know, same 45% as Andrew Luck. 140 yards, no touchdowns, 2 INTs. Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell both had 54 yards rushing for the Browns. Crowell had the touchdown. Josh Gordon was only held to 2 catches for the 15 yards.
I was wondering if you would say that. Yeah, that to me says tons.
But the difference in the game is T.Y.
Thank you, Eugene.
T.Y. Hilton had 10 catches for 150 yards with 2 touchdowns, but he did have a lost fumble.
Yeah. I mean, look, where do you get the number 12, Chris? And the answer is not Andrew Luck's jersey. Good guess, though.
The 12th comeback.
Boom! The comeback commander did it again. There was a Colts fan I was watching this game with this past Sunday at the Ale House, and he's like, oh, man, they're going to lose. I'm like, no, John. No, they won't. Why? Because Andrew Luck. That's why. Shortly afterward, touchdown. Thank you, Eugene. Because Eugene's his real name, for those who don't know. T.Y. is thank you. Catch up! Anyways, so, yeah. Something else interesting I think worth note in this game is we already mentioned how RG3 was shown up. He was the 3rd pick in the draft in 2012. excuse me, second pick in the draft in 2012. The third pick was Richardson. Tony Richardson. Not Tony, Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson.
Tony Richardson's an old fullback. Trent right. Richardson. Trent Richardson, who's suiting up for the Colts and got you precisely 3 fantasy points for doing it. Whereas the number one pick of 2012, Andrew Luck. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. With that, moving on, something else I would have thought interesting, these two defensive juggernauts facing each other in the form of the Chiefs and the Cardinals, make no mistake, this was a defensive game. The Chiefs, 14, the Cards, 17. And for those of you wondering, the number 14 is significant as well. Why? 14 straight winks or 13 straight games without a passing touchdown to a wide receiver. Alex Smith keeping it alive, going 67% in the air, 26 to 39, but 239 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. None to a wide receiver in the end zone. Drew Stanton went 15 for 30, 239 yards with a touchdown. Jamaal Charles did his thing early, had 10 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown, and was also the receiver for that touchdown. Kerwin Williams filling in at the running back position for the Cardinals, 19 for 100. Andre Ellington hurt early in this game. He is out for the year. They'll need Kerwin Williams. Ask Kerwin Williams. That's all I can think of. Is that commercial? No? Sherwin Williams, Kerwin Williams, yeah, right?
Right.
Am I trying to? I'm trying.
You're trying too hard.
Damn it. Anyway, better than 5 yards a carry. That ain't trying too hard. That's filling in nicely for Andre Ellington. If the Cards hope to win, they'll need a two-dimensional offense like that. The thing here that disturbs the hell out of me if you're the Cardinals and gives you some hope if you're the Chiefs, 1 for 2 were the Chiefs in the red zone. 1 for 5 were the Cardinals in the red zone. Touchdowns are more than field goals, guys. Okay? Put it in the frickin' end zone. I'm just saying. Next up, the Sunday night game. The Patriots face off against the Chargers, 23-14, the victory. This game was, in my opinion, closer than the 23-14 score, but it was broken open when Julian Edelman scored a 69-yard touchdown. All right, I'll score too. 8 catches for 141 yards, but overall, Brady's performance, 28 for 44, 320 yards, 12 yards with 2 touchdowns and an interception. And basically, if there's not 2 missed tackles to propel Edelman to his touchdown, no guarantee that Brady would have done that well. I'm not going to say he did bad, but I wasn't necessarily impressed. What did impress me? The Patriots' defense. Phillip Rivers, 20 for 13 with a touchdown and an interception. Or 20 for 33, excuse me. With a touchdown and an interception. Had less than 200 yards on the day. Not impressive this week. He has the convenient excuse of being on his 5th starting center this season, so I'm sure that was a factor. Lots of pressure throughout the game. So asinine was the pressure that NBC Sports actually tried to show a graphic making Rob Ninkovich look better than J.J. Watt. No, I'm serious, dude. They were talking about percentage of defensive snaps, and Rob Ninkovich has 94 versus 93 or something like that. It was probably the single most stupid thing I've ever seen done, football-wise. You know, short of... Well, no, I'll get back to you. But, I mean, at the end of the day, in the red zone, the Patriots were 1 for 4. Props to the Chargers defense for doing what they could. Was not enough. The Pats hold the day and their lead and the grip upon the AFC Conference. They'll likely be the top seed. If you want to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, you'll have to go through Foxborough as of today. Next game on the docket, the Ravens and the Dolphins. Chris.
It took the Ravens over 17 minutes into the game to get a first down and trailed 10-0 midway through the second quarter as they came from behind and beat the Miami Dolphins 28-13. With the victory, the Ravens improved to 8-5 and have a better shot to make the playoffs than the Dolphins at 7-6.
Yeah, this game was huge because the winner would have that advantage in jockeying for the wild card. I mean, there's just a number of teams. Again, the AFC wild card spot is a jumble. Even more so than the NFC in this particular case. Anyways.
Joe Flacco was 25 for 33, 76%, 269 yards.
All right.
2 touchdowns with an INT. Ryan Tannehill was 23 for 33, 70%, 227 yards with a touchdown. He was sacked Six times. Yeah, he was sacked once by C.J. Mosley.
Rookie of the Year candidate.
1.5 times by Terrell Suggs.
Oh, T. Sizzle.
And the other 3.5 was by one Elvis Dumervil.
Yes, yes. Exposing that left tackle like Janet Jackson in the previous Super Bowl halftime show.
The left tackle you're talking about is the rookie from Tennessee, Juwan James.
Yeah, not a good outing for him. Not a good outing. Good rookie, good prospect, not a good day. Not a good day versus Elvis Dumervil. And people want to try to tell me, oh, well, Ryan Tannehill can't throw the ball that far to Mike Wallace. Dude. Are you serious right now? What's one thing you can't do when you're under pressure? Throw the ball deep. Next question.
Justin Forsett had 13 carries, 71 yards with a touchdown. Steve Smith Sr., 7 for 70 with a touchdown. And ex-UCF wide receiver Kamar Aiken had 6 for 65 with a touchdown.
I knew that name.
And then Brian Hartline had a touchdown for the Dolphins. Red zone, the Ravens were 4 for 5 to the Dolphins 1 for 2.
Yeah, something else that makes Dumervil's dominance more unexcusable. Hiloti Nada out 4 games in suspension due to Adderall, testing positive for Adderall. He's basically fessed up to it, said, hey, I had trouble balancing my professional life and my family life, and I needed this to help me focus. Regardless if that's true or not, I mean, that's the reason that sounds good on paper. But I'll say this, the fact that he's just like, yeah, I did it. Suspend the hell out of me. You know, he was basically showing no resistance to it. I hope he gets whatever he needs worked out. I mean, Hiloti Nada is a guy that we as fans are always going to do better seeing on the field. It's that simple. And actually, the defensive tackle spot was so revealed at times that in certain pass plays, and I think there were 4 of them, the tackles in the game for the Ravens were getting pushed so far downfield that the guards for the Finns, no lie, were getting called for an eligible man downfield. The refs were flagging them, even though they were engaged with the defensive tackle in front of them, for an eligible man downfield. I'm not making this up. By the way, $42,000 a year raise for those guys who did that. Called that penalty, I mean. Anyways, continue.
All right, no, that was it for that game, really. So, I mean, if you look at the AFC picture right now, for the season ending today, you know, you'd have the Patriots, the Broncos, the Colts and the Bengals won in their division, so that's top 4.
Yeah.
So then, right now, 5th seed, you got the Steelers. 6th, you got the Chargers. 7th, you got the Ravens. 8th, Texans. 9th, Dolphins.
Okay. The Texans aren't going to make it. I think the Dolphins are pretty much done now, too. Not to mention, they have the Patriots next week. Good luck with that. Oh, in Foxborough, by the way. I know they won in Miami to open the year. We'll talk more about that in the study hall. We do have one more game first, and that would be the Seahawks and the Eagles. Chris.
And the Seahawks defense came to play and held the Eagles to only 9 first downs and 139 yards of total offense on the way to a 24-14 win to improve to 9-4 on the season.
Okay, are we done talking about the Seahawks defense not being what they used to be? Are we done with that? Not that you've done that, Chris. Not that Weasel's done that. But other asinine people and other people who I unfortunately respect on this network but are just wildly misguiding and thinking that they weren't the same team anymore. Just stop it. Stop it. No. No, that's a bad analyst. No. Okay, anyways.
Russell Wilson was error-free as he was 22 for 37, 263 yards with 2 touchdowns. He also had 48 yards rushing and a touchdown. Mark Sanchez, 10 for 20, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT.
That ain't bad. I mean, I know it's only 90-something yards, but...
It's 50%.
Against this defense? I mean, okay, it should be better. We've seen people fold a lot more than this. Do I have to bring up Colin Kaepernick?
All right. Marshawn Lynch had 23 carries for 86 yards with a touchdown catch. He also had a lost fumble. LeSean McCoy had 17 carries for 50 yards with a lost fumble.
Yeah.
Doug Baldwin for the Seahawks had 5 catches, 97 yards with a touchdown. And then tight end Zach Ertz and Jeremy Maclin both had a touchdown reception for the Eagles.
Zach Ertz, the throw to Zach Ertz from Sanchez was easily the best play he made in the game without question. And Ertz made an excellent play to stay alive to get that touchdown. An excellent move for a big man. I can't front on that. For me, the difference is them swallowing up, you know, LeSean McCoy, obviously.
Right. So In difference in the game, you know, the Seahawks were 44% on third down to the Eagles 18%.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But
too.
Like I said before, first downs, Seahawks had 28 to the Eagles 9. And total yards, 440 for the Seahawks to 139. It's 301 yards more of offense.
Like
for the
that
Seahawks.
That discrepancy is like twice as many like passing yards as some quarterbacks had this week. I don't know. Maybe not quite twice as many, but it's pretty close. I don't know.
Three times more than Mark Sanchez.
Boom. There you go. Okay. That's pretty ridiculous. We'll leave it at that. Yeah, so I guess it's officially that time. It's time for the study hall. Now, I saw you on your phone. I'm hoping that that was a text from Weasel, you getting your games.
Yes, that is.
Thank God. Okay, well, now I don't have to yell at him too much for finally getting off his butt and handling his business. Anyways, here we go. It's time. Oh, yeah. So, where we at, Chris?
All right, so this past week, going into tonight's game, we all got the Packers. Me and you were both 10-5. Weasel was 8-7.
So what you're trying to tell me is I'm not creeping up.
No, you're not creeping up.
Damn
you're
it.
I'm standing still right now. So you are 6 games behind, and then Weasel is 9 games behind me. So you have a 3-game lead over Weasel.
So 6 and 9. Okay. Yes. Next.
All right. So this week, Thursday night, we got the Cardinals at the Rams. You know, the way the Rams have been playing lately and winning some of these games, want to pick the Rams. You know, Cardinals don't have Andre Ellington. They lost Honey Badger.
Yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu. Also, Antonio Cromartie got hurt late there in the game, so that's another one there. I'm going to go with the upset with the Rams. The way they've been playing.
This is a ridiculous game to pick. Can we be clear? There's a huge question mark in play here in Kerwin Williams stepping in the way he did for Ellington. If either team is made one-dimensional, it's pointless. Both teams are capable of making the other team one-dimensional. I know Honey Badger is missing, but this is still a formidable defense against Sean Hill. I'm not impressed. The front has to do their job. Calais Campbell and company will have to do it. I'm not brave enough to pick the Rams. You know what? If I end up 7 games down because of it, fine. I got the Cardinals.
And Weasel also has the Cardinals.
Damn it.
Okay, you got the Steelers at the Falcons. I'm going Steelers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Weasel. If the Falcons, in fact, lose tonight playing the Packers, we have guaranteed that a team without a winning record will win the NFC South. Happy news. No. Chris. Yeah.
Next game, you get the Skins at the Giants. The Skins might be starting RG3 this week because Colt McCoy has a neck strain. I'm going
and
Giants.
That's the only way they're going to do
right.
it.
I'm going Giants with another 8 sacks.
Yeah, another 8 sacks. Actually, it would be tougher to pick the over-under for sacks, and it would be the outcome of this game. I got the Giants
and
as well.
Weasel has the Giants also.
Shocker.
So AFC East matchup, we got the Dolphins at the Patriots. I got Patriots all
yeah,
the way.
Look, Tom Brady proved this past Sunday night that one thing he doesn't do is lose twice in a row. He doesn't lose 2 weeks in a row, and very rarely does he lose to the same opponent 2 times in a row in the same season. I don't think it'll happen. Despite the loss in Foxborough early on, I see the Patriots winning here.
Man, Weasel's going with the Dolphins.
Okay, well, hey, I guess he's 10 games behind. Next up.
All right, next you got the Raiders at the Chiefs. The Raiders beat the Chiefs 2 weeks ago. We didn't mention during the game. The Raiders running back, Latavius Murray, ex-UCF running back. The two starts he's had, both games have won. But Chiefs are going to come out hungry after they lost to give the Raiders the first win. So I'm going to go Chiefs.
On the strength of that alone, there is no way. If the Chiefs give up both games to the Raiders, guess what? I deserve to pick them wrong. I have the Chiefs.
And Weasel has the Chiefs also. Then we got the Texans at the Colts. I'm going Andrew Luck on this one, even though, you know, J.J. Watt probably have like a sack or two probably this week.
Maybe. I mean, he's gotten to Luck before, yeah.
Right. So I'm going Colts.
Look, in this beard battle, Ryan Fitzpatrick may win the beard battle. He will lose the football war. It's going to be the Colts rolling. Unless J.J. Watt does a lot of crazy stuff, which might happen, but I'm not willing to pick the Texans on the strength of that.
And Weasel's going with the Colts also. Then you got the Jags at the Ravens. I got Ravens.
Yeah, next.
Yeah, Weasel's going Ravens, you got Ravens. You got the Packers at the Bills. I'm going Pack.
Yeah, I too am going Packers. The Bills defense is good, but the quarterback that got replaced by Tim Tebow and Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton. Yeah, I still don't get that.
Yeah, Weasel going Packers also. Next you got the Bucks at the Panthers. If the Panthers can do what they did this past weekend with the Saints, I'm going Panthers.
I mean, I'm going with the team that has the semi-solid quarterback that could actually possibly bail them out. I'm going to go with the Panthers on this one. This is not an easy game to pick.
All right, Weasel's going Panthers also. And then we got the Bengals at the Browns. This is a tough one. You don't know who's going to be starting for the Browns.
Yeah,
they're
going to
go with Johnny Football.
I'm fairly certain that's what's going to happen. You know, and even if it doesn't,
I'm going to go Bengals on this one because it's a must win for them.
Well, even aside from the must win for them, the must win for the Browns was last week, and Brian Hoyer did not must win. I sound like Stephen Colbert when I say that. But what I say about that is this: Andy Dalton is doing his job, and I believe that whoever plays quarterback will do the job for the Bengals defense. That means they win in two of the major elements of the game without even talking about special teams. I've got the Bengals.
And Weasel's going with the Browns.
Never shot there. Oh, he's going. Right. Wait, what?
He's going Browns, yeah. He's going Browns.
He'll be down 11. Next question. Yes.
All right, you got the Jets at the Titans. Even though how bad the Jets are, they're still not as bad as the Titans. The Titans will probably be starting Walker again. I'm going Jets.
Yeah, starting Walker is enough for me to pick against the Titans as well. Damn it, I'm not going to get any games on you this week.
Yeah, Weasel went with Jets as well. Then you got the Broncos at the Chargers. I'm going Broncos. They want to still try to get that playoff win. So hopefully they're hoping the Dolphins will repeat off of week one so they can try to move up ahead of the Patriots.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Broncos.
The Broncos will basically do the same thing the Patriots did to the Chargers. Take advantage up front of all the O-line disarray. And while the Patriots defense is better than it's been in a while, the Broncos defense is even better. As evidenced last week and other weeks, I have the Broncos on the strength of that.
And Weasel's going Chargers.
He's just desperate now.
Yeah,
You
got the Vikings at the Lions. Yeah, I'm going Lions. The Vikings struggled against the Jets. I'm going Lions.
Did Weasel pick the Vikings?
No, he picked Lions.
Thank God. So do I. At this point, it's like watching that golfer who refuses to take a free drop and just keeps hitting it back in the lake. Weasel, just stop it. You're 12 games back.
Tin Cup.
Yeah, I've not seen that movie, but I remember someone talking about
Kevin Costner. All right.
There you go.
Next game, you get the Niners at the Seahawks. I'm going Seahawks.
Yeah, you have to here. I know fashion models who are more anemic, who are less anemic than the Niners offense. I don't know whose quote unquote fault it is. I think if Jim Harbaugh leaves, well, let's put it this way. I think the Niners will struggle for the next two seasons as well. Anyways, that's where I'm at.
All right, Weasel's going with Seahawks also. And you got the Cowboys at the Eagles. And then the other night, the Eagles didn't look so good, but then they did destroy the Cowboys a couple weeks back with Sanchez with his first start.
Right.
I'm going to go Eagles again on this one.
I think it will be closer this time because they have a game plan based on playing them previously and can borrow from what the Seahawks did in shutting down LeSean McCoy. At days in, though, I don't think they have quite enough speed at the linebacker spot in particular to get outside and stop Shady or Sproles or whoever it is they're going to use. I have the Eagles as well.
And Weasel's going Cowboys.
Damn it, I'm not getting any gaze on you.
Next, you get the Saints at the Bears. If Brandon Marshall was healthy, I'd pick the Bears. And since they're not, I'm going Saints.
I don't give a damn what Brandon Marshall is doing. I still got the Saints. Whatever.
And Weasel's got the Saints too, and that's it.
Yeah, so we have one game different, which I'm probably going to...
Cards Rams, that's it.
Damn it.
Thursday night game.
Which I'm probably going to be seven games back instead of six with two more weeks to play. Sheesh. I almost cursed there. That's how screwed I am on this. Anyways, we brought you a little bit of overtime there with the study hall. Thank you to Weasel for finally getting off of your keister and giving us your picks. And, yeah. So, with another week in the books, you'll see us for week 15. Check out the site, ngscsports.com. I will post Wednesday night the matchup mania. A lot of playoff implication here, so you'll see an awful lot going on in this week's piece. And, of course, find me on Twitter at the SOTG. If you want to ask Weasel what his thoughts were in some of these wild picks he made, at Weasel the SOTG, and of course at Rankin the SOTG, if you have any questions for him as well. And of course, until next time, everybody, we'll be back bringing you ever closer to the end of the NFL season. That's so sad. To the end of the NFL season. Until that point, my friends, class dismissed.